Hey guys, welcome to Tell Me About It. As always, I gotta tell you what we do around here. We take a magnifying glass to all the failures, fuck-ups, shame spirals, anxieties, the times that we compare ourselves to other women, our mental health crises. I feel like mental health crises is just sounds so lame. But, you know, depression, anxiety, bipolar, you know, the whole bunch. We talk about basically everything that we're taught not to talk about. And we focus solely on, well, the opposite of our success stories. Speaking of failures, I feel so badly. I forgot my friend's birthday last week. Like, it was the worst. I felt so badly. Like, there's just no feeling worse. I found out 3 days later. I just realized that because I don't have my Facebook on my new phone. Like, I forgot the password, so I'm just permanently locked out of Facebook, which is a tragedy of its own that we can get into later because I've lost all my childhood memories or, like, my adolescent memories, which, like, I'd kind of rather forget. All those photo booth pictures. But yeah, I don't have a Facebook anymore, so no one reminds me that it's people's birthday. So lesson learned, I need to add them to my Google Calendar. And I felt so badly, like forgetting someone's birthday. And like, I've never done that before. And it just felt like it was so bad. So if you feel like you've been a bad friend this week, I've, you know, one-upped you a little bit. Something I wanted to talk, I talked about this with Dylan the other day, and he was like, you should mention this in your intro. So Dylan, I'm giving you some credit. We were talking the other night, and it's something I've been thinking about recently. When people used to tell me, Jade, like, not everyone's gonna like you. You're not gonna be for everyone all the time. Like, when I'd see memes about it, or people post about it on Instagram, or write about it elsewhere, I'd be like, yeah. Like, I'd almost take it like a challenge. Like, I'd be like, yeah, that works for you. You're probably, like, unlikable. You know what I mean? You probably, like, I just never took it to heart. I was like, but everyone except me, like I can get everyone, you know, I would take it as sort of a weird challenge. And like, that's the way that I looked at it. And this is how my brain works. But I was thinking the other day, I was talking to this person. My favorite thing in the world is a chocolate chip cookie. There's nothing better in the world. It is perfect. There's nothing wrong with a chocolate chip cookie. It's good morning, noon, and night. But I was talking to this person who hates chocolate chip cookies. I was like, that's insane. And honestly, it like clicked almost immediately, which almost never happens. But I immediately related it to my life. And I was like, it doesn't make me think less of the chocolate chip cookie because he doesn't like it. I'm just like, wow, that person has really different taste than me. But that's kind of how we should feel about ourselves. I just have been thinking about this lately, and it's so fucked up because we spend so much fucking time caring about what other people think and trying to be everyone's flavor, and it's exhausting. If you're just being yourself, you can't be for everyone. That's all we've got, is to be ourselves. And like, if you're liked by everyone, you're doing something wrong. If I had heard that on this podcast 4 years ago, I would have turned it off and be like, that girl's a bitch and she's probably unlikable. And let me tell you, I'm on the other side, and I apologize for ever feeling that way about anyone else that ever said it, because it's the truth. And I just thought it was relevant. So today I'll get back into the show and why you came. Today we have Morgan Stewart on the show. Morgan Stewart is on E! She hosts Daily Pop and Nightly Pop and has her own segment called Necessary Realness. Daily Pop and Nightly Pop are essentially series for entertainment fans. They have behind-the-scenes scoops, celebrity guests, and just like fun conversations. In 2010, Morgan started her own successful fashion and lifestyle blog called Boobs and Lubes. Yes, Boobs and Lubes, which she, in her words, designed for the girl creating her own future. Morgan's vivacious energy and trend-setting tastes have made her one of the most successful lifestyle bloggers on Instagram. There were a lot of times in this interview I thought to myself, like, wow, I've only thought that, but I've never said it out loud, and I felt seen by something that Morgan said, so I know you'll feel the same way, and I can't wait for you to listen. Here is Morgan Stewart. Hi, Morgan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, I'm glad that we finally made this work.
I'm so excited that you're on the show. Do you know how often I rewatch Rich Kids of Beverly Hills? Like, all the fucking time.
Can I tell you? I appreciate that. I cannot watch.
I was going to ask you.
So here's the other thing that you're going to have to just be like, this is because I'm so used to also interviewing people. You have to be like, stop talking. When I did Rich Kids, I never watched it. I mean, very seldomly and like behind my hand. Like, it's just hard to watch yourself on TV.
And totally. And the way it's edited.
The way it's edited, which was like pretty accurate because that's how I was, I think. But I think in terms of like, just, you know, you don't dial in the glam and just sort of, there's so much that you're like learning as you're on TV for the first time. But like, I think I'm at the point now where I could look back and be like, that's such an adorable, you're so adorable. Like yes. It's been enough time, but yeah, I definitely don't. I did not watch and do not watch.
Oh my God. Wait, first, I just have to interrupt you for a second. I was looking at your hair and your hair looks perfect. I am not a good representation, but we have the same hair team. I am a Sheila Stotts, Chris McMillan hybrid also.
Let me tell you something. There is nobody better than Sheila Stotts. And all of those girls, they are unreal. That fucking hairbrush that literally goes everywhere with me.
I have 17 of them. Yes.
They're the best. And then Chris is, I literally just went back to Chris because I was like, you need to cut more.
Which he loves. Yeah.
But with me, it's always struggle because I want to keep it long, but cut into. And he always is like, let's just cut it off. But you know, Chris.
You're a great commercial for them. But back to Rich Kids, because it's my favorite show on the planet. Who was that girl? Like when you first started, who were you? And like, what are the biggest differences between who you were then and now?
Oh my God. I think everything. There's been so much therapy and so much self-work. It's like out of control.
Totally.
But I do feel like that girl at that time for that age was appropriate, right? Like it was my first sort of real, like I always wanted to be on television. And I think the biggest misconception about that is that I didn't want to be on television to be famous. I want to be on television to utilize the skill set that I was given that I'm good at, right? So like being engaging and charismatic and being funny at times, like that's what sort of the universe and God, whoever, was like, we're going to give her this strength. Like she's not going to be able to do a lot else. So this is what she's going to be good at. So the show and being on TV and making content was sort of my way of being successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Rich Kids was the start of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first opportunity. And I swear to God, I say this all the time, but like every single thing that has ever happened to me career-wise, and even in my life, I have manifested. Mm-hmm. Like when I was 22 and driving around and like had no job and was in college for a year and a half and then dropped out and like came home and sort of didn't really have any purpose for my life and sort of was like going to lunch every day, but then like also didn't have endless funds to just sort of live that life.
Right.
I sort of was like, okay, something's going to happen. And then luckily enough, it did within Rich Kids, which when Rich Kids was formed, it wasn't called Rich Kids.
Yeah. What was it initially?
It was literally my friend Dorothy had been in talks with the production company with a different group of people.
Okay.
And we went in for a meeting together. I kind of got roped into that group of people. And then the two producers or executives at the time that were not the people that ended up making the show said, okay, you two come back alone. Fuck everyone else. They're not even worth the time, which I mean, I knew, but anyway. And so then her and I sort of became this duo in getting whatever this show was going to be sort of off the ground and running. And then we came across this guy, Jeron Ophir, and this guy, David Leapson, who saw a tape of us randomly that we were auditioning for another show to do together.
Oh my God.
And it became Rich Kids, because that was the time around Rich Kids of Instagram. And obviously from a really wealthy family and blah, blah, blah. And so then they were like, okay, the show is going to be picked up. It was very quick, but it's going to be called this. And I was like,
yeah. Were you horrified?
I was really horrified because I really wasn't even trying to sell that image. It was sort of like our life, but it wasn't like we were, I don't know, like on a plane every week or something. Like we were just normal kids in LA that like were going out and like had
totally
nice stuff. You know, like you grew up here, you know, everyone's kind of like living in another reality than the rest of the world.
Yes.
But it was definitely not something that I wanted to lead with.
Right. Like were your parents horrified?
Oh my God. It was like, and it also was like, I felt like, is there going to be an authenticity issue here? Like I didn't want to, you know, so, but I will say, considering how green I was, how little I knew, my family knew about how this process was going to go, I think the overall experience was pretty unbelievable and things worked out pretty well. But like, obviously there was some pitfalls for sure.
For sure. But I agree with you. Like you did knock the assignment out of the park. You know what I
Thank
mean?
You.
I think your relatability, authenticity, all that was able to shine through with what people would think was maybe a superficial show. But it wasn't.
Right.
It was like, it was just good. It's good TV. It's wonderful. I love that show. So tell me, like, what were you insecure about at 25?
Everything.
I know. Hello.
I mean, I know. But you know what? I will say though, I was so much more secure before I became more and more famous.
Interesting. Khloe Kardashian says stuff like that.
Yeah. Too. And I don't even know if the word famous is applicable to me. I feel like I'm in that sort of in between, you know, like I also think I'm still such like a normal person. And I also have a full on fucking job. So right. Like everybody else who gets to schmooze and mingle and go to these events, like a bitch has to be up at 5.
Totally.
So I don't even like, as much as I want to network and go out there and I feel like I see all these girls on Instagram that I feel like I should know them, I'm like, I don't really have the time to know them because I'm not getting my makeup done at 4.
Right.
It's been on since 6 a.m.
Right.
And I'll be fucking damned if I'm starting over again at 4 and taking
yes.
off. Yes. Too much. But I don't know. I guess I was going to go on a whole thing about what I was insecure about, but mm-hmm. I feel like I think as you grow older and you become more self-aware, it's mm-hmm. almost when you become more insecure about things.
Yes.
Than you did before. You're sort of delusional.
Yeah. You're like running from everything also.
You're also running and you're sort of like messy and yeah. in the moment. So I definitely had insecurities, but I just think it was probably your normal day-to-day like stuff. Nothing too crazy.
Was it more like physical insecurity or like stuff you'd been through as a child or like where you came from?
Oh my God, the child trauma, right? It's crazy how that just creeps up and you're like, oh, I have to deal with all that now.
I know.
Holy fucking God. And every week I'm like, what else can we tackle?
I know. And like I'm in therapy and I'm like, oh my God, this shit again. Holy fuck. Wow.
This shit again. Or yeah. they always like to bring it back. And then I have like the hokey therapy sessions where I'm just like, this is a bunch of bullshit, yeah. right? And then she says something and I'm like, no, this does make sense.
I know.
But I feel like you also have to do hours of therapy
yes.
to even realize that you've learned something from therapy.
150%. Yes. No one tells you that part.
It's crazy. But yeah, I definitely yeah. had physical insecurities for sure. I always have. But then I have such a weird equal amount of confidence mm-hmm. as well. It's so fucked up.
No, it makes sense. I feel the same fucking way. It's like
crazy.
You can be so confident in yourself, but also be like the cruelest person to yourself, like behind closed doors.
It's so, I'm very hard on myself. I'm extremely driven in terms of like my work ethic. And I was even just talking to somebody like an hour ago. And I was just saying like, even just like with people you work with, you really need to find people that are sort of on your same level and are willing to put in the same amount of work that you do. Because my favorite thing is like when I tell people, okay, well, I go to film at E, I get there at 5:30, 6:30. I wake up at 5:30, whatever, go to work. And I have a 2-hour, 3-hour day, mm-hmm. right? I go and I right. film shows back to back. I do daily pop, nightly pop. And then I do Necessary Realness
Holy
on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, but you're done early. And I'm like, bitch,
I started
you don't
early.
Have a motherfucking clue about the emotional and physical energy it takes to do 5 days a week of straight filming. And I'm the only person that does both shows. It's hard.
Oh, that's no fucking joke. Oh yeah.
It's no fucking joke. And so then when you work with people
yeah.
that sort of are like lackadaisical, like even today, like when you'll go through this, but like my daughter's now eating solids, right? So now she's doing 3 meals a day, like, which is one of the hardest things on the planet. Like I can barely get 3 meals a day in myself,
yeah, of course.
Let alone a little human. And it's always like, what's for lunch? What's for breakfast?
Right.
And today she had, this is very interesting content. You're like thrilled you have me on. Today she had oatmeal for breakfast.
Wonderful.
And so I was talking to my nanny and I was like, well, what are we thinking for lunch? Like what do, and she's like, well, should we do like some yogurt? I said, she's had mush today. We don't need mush round two. Like we need to figure out like, should we do a scramble egg? So
wow.
I'm just, when you're in this sort of like tunnel of like, I'm on camera, I'm working nonstop. There's no like take five. It's like read this, get this done, da, 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 da. I realize I need people around me that are on that same level of intensity or it does not work.
Totally. Okay, we gotta take a quick break and we'll be right back. Does it get easier to be on television? Like, let's say you do like it's so nice because you keep having at-bats, so to speak. Like if you hate an episode, you have to record another one tomorrow. So you kind of have to forget about it. That's why I like
totally.
Podcasting too.
Yeah.
But are you still super, like, I would be so vain about like, sometimes in an episode that I'm recording, I'm like, oh my God, I look terrible. And I hate like posting about it. Are you harder on yourself now? Or like, has it being on television physically gotten easier?
I feel like that's gotten easier. Again,
yeah.
it really is a lot of glam, like,
yes.
like just fine tuning stuff. And I'm pretty, I mean, I think also it's like glam for me is like brushing your teeth. Like it's become such a part of my everyday, like
yeah.
I'm asleep half the time. So
totally.
I'm not even getting like Kardashian glam where like Kris Jenner's looking gorgeous at 9 o'clock every morning. And she is just has that for her day. I definitely feel like I've accepted myself more on television for sure. Mm. I definitely don't like having bad days where it's like, I go through phases where I'm like, I really just don't care. And then I always circle back and I'm like, no, you have to care a little bit.
Yeah, yes. You do have to maintain a little sense of vanity a little bit.
100%. And that's where the duality of like no confidence versus so much confidence is like, well, okay, yeah, I didn't look great. My brows are thin and I'm annoyed about that somebody wasn't doing a good job. But then I'm also like, but you're so funny. Who cares?
No, we're truly sick in the head. Like we loathe ourselves and love ourselves all at the same time.
What's your birthday?
I'm December 14th.
Oh, so you're Sag, opposite sign, Gemini. Okay.
Oh, my boyfriend's a Gemini rising.
Oh.
What's your rising?
Okay. Virgo.
Oh my God, you are such a Virgo rising. I love that.
I am so Virgo rising and I'm Aries moon.
Ooh. Let's dive into female friendships because we watched on Rich Kids of Beverly Hills and also in your 20s, just like it comes with the territory, you will have friendship breakups and all of that. And we actually got to see one of yours, but
yes,
the stuff that wasn't on TV, how have your friendships evolved from 20 to 30?
Well, I am somebody that like my best friend has been my best friend since the seventh grade.
Right.
And I have a vivid memory of like, I think we were going through a mean girl phase when we were like in the eighth grade. And I remember looking at her on the bench one day and just being like, I was probably 13. And I was like, we're going to be friends forever. I just knew.
Yeah.
I vividly remember it was almost like just some sort of outer body experience. Where I was like, I knew you were solid. And then I just knew. And then my other best friend, I have two of them. And my other best friend is my best friend who's gay named John. I have two of those people that are my solids no matter what. They never get knocked over. I've definitely had my fair share of friendships, obviously, that have broken up after many, many, many years of being friends. I've definitely become way more guarded and less trustworthy with people. Whereas before I used to be way the opposite. Mm-hmm. I used to sort of blab and expect and just sort of say whatever. And like, we've met. So like we're on the same team, which was delusional, which is a lot of what I've worked on.
Yes.
And now I've grown into myself more and I've really learned who to, and I'm somebody that analyzes everything to a
Me
fault.
Too. Yes.
I was even talking to my therapist. She was like, how tortured are you every day of just overanalyzing your relationships with people? Mm-hmm. And I was sort of like, it's manageable, but I do feel like nobody's perfect, but I feel like I have a bunch of different really good friends at this point, but they all serve a different purpose.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's the way to be.
Yes, they definitely do. And I sort of am I'm very like, the more the merrier. I'm very inclusive. Everybody come. And then when something's like doesn't flow, I'm like, why is this an issue? Sort of.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, definitely have become more guarded.
Yeah. No, I understand that. And I think it's important to do that as you get older because you've just seen, you're like, I don't want to waste my time on these fucking people that are terrible.
Not at all. And I also think I was doing a lot of self-blame or sort of like analyzing things because I'm very strong. I come off a certain way. And I think a lot of what I've been dealing with is like, I come off very one way, but inside I'm very different. So I'm trying to merge those two people into being one and being a little more thoughtful of like the person inside of me who's looking up and is like, what's happening? Yes. This is not what I meant. Why is it being affected this way? Because this person has become so protective of this person that it becomes jumbled and a whole fucking disaster that you can't even keep up with.
Yes.
So I do think if you have to over-explain yourself to your friends or things become overly challenging or complicated, at some point you need to recognize like, okay, maybe this is just not.
But see, what I like about you is that you're straightforward. So I'm like very avoidant by nature. And that's like something I'm working on in therapy.
Okay.
So like, I feel like you never ghosted your friends. Like you had like solid breakups. It's not you, it's me. Kind of conversations with every friendship breakup, right?
I've definitely been very vocal. Like, I mean, the specific friendship, yes, I think I've been very vocal about it, but I do think I can go through being really truthful. I can go through phases of still being friends and ghosting a bit or sort of just like needing the space without saying I'm needing the space and not being vocal about what it is because I'm in the process of figuring out what isn't working.
Yes.
Not feeling right. And sort of like, I'm always the strong one in my identity with most people. But she's got it together, or she's fine, or she's going to take care of it, or she's going to have this party, or she's going to wear that bag. Everything's always so buttoned up that I'm not thought of a lot in terms of like,
interesting.
There's not a lot of empathy because
it's like, check on your strong friend.
Yeah. also think like, and I say this proudly, but I think there are leaders and there are followers, and I'm definitely not a follower.
Me neither.
But we still need people to be like, well, do you need help? How are you doing? Like, instead of just always something being set up, you know, appreciate it. But then of course, yesterday I was like, I'm having a holiday party, which I've decided in 10 minutes, and I'm going to bitch about how no one appreciated it after for 2 weeks. So it's a lot.
No one thanked you. Yes.
No, it's a lot. Not showing up to birthdays with a card.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty illegal, but you knew about the event, right? I guess you got to show up with something, a lotto ticket from the gas station, something.
I don't care if it's fucking gum.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Just it's the thought.
Just show up.
You should write an etiquette book.
I get it. Like when we were all 21 and like running late to 10 Masa or wherever the fuck we were going and you couldn't pick something up. Fine. But like, we're now like adults.
We're adults. God damn it.
Come on.
I know, I'm with you. So tell me about romantic relationships. How has what you looked for in a partner changed since your 20s? Like you, when you had boobs and lubes back in the day and you were going to write that book, what was it? The Blowjob of Beverly Hills or something?
Boobs, Lubes, and Blowjobs, which was such a good title. I should use it.
You absolutely should. Yes.
I will trademark that or whatever. Oh my God, romantic partnerships. Yeah, I definitely feel like, I feel like all the romantic relationships I have had have just sort of been like these long periods of time that have like swept over me. I feel like I have always been very fortunate in the people that I have dated and been with that have always been really good people.
Yeah.
I think I've had really successful relationships. They might have not always ended so well, but I think for me, I've been pretty lucky in my love life. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they crashed and burned, obviously not all relationships work out. You obviously maybe have different intentions for how they're going to play out.
I'm not saying it's easy. Nothing's easy. Like there's still compromise and sacrifice and all that stuff. But like when you're with the right person, the hard stuff isn't as hard, if that makes sense. My sister actually called me and she saw what you said about Jordan. Like, I don't, sorry if we're mentioning his name.
You said, please, no problem.
Pimp him out. But you said you were talking about like jealousy or like what, you know, and you were like, I kind of let him do his thing. And then once it starts to affect my life, like then we'll reevaluate. But like, I let him do 100%. His thing. And I feel like you guys just have like an understanding, like a mutual understanding that like, this is how we're going to do life.
I think we really, and I think I felt that way with just sort of like how quickly I got pregnant with Ro. I mean, we dated 12 years ago. Everyone's heard the story a million times, dated for a year and a half. We had like a semi like not great breakup. It wasn't like see you later. And then I think Jordan was the only relationship I've ever had where we broke up. I remember crying about it, being really upset. I think I tried to write him a letter at one point to like, be like, we should really try to work this out. Mm-hmm. And we completely just stopped speaking. I didn't run into him at La Scala. We lived separate lives.
Yeah, he just disappeared, which is hard to do in LA.
Very hard to do in LA. He was on tour. He was figuring himself out. And so he was gone. Mm-hmm. And when he reemerged, I guess now going on what fucking year are we? Like 2 years ago-ish. I guess September 2019 was the first time we like actually saw each other again. He had been touring with the Jonas Brothers. He had had other relationships. I was like, he is on an off-board time. Right. He's not serious about any of this. I'm not going to even entertain whatever communication this is. Mm-hmm. And then the joke was on me because the universe just sort of slammed it down.
Yep.
And we kept talking. And then the pandemic fully happened. And he was here for, I went to Paris in February to see him 2020. And then March happened and we were by May, there was no going back.
Yeah, just locked in, literally.
Literally. And I remember mentally just being free and being like, let's get pregnant.
Yes.
Fine, let's do it.
So I know you didn't have any kids in your past relationship. When you and Jordan were trying to get pregnant, did that take a long time?
We got pregnant. I mean, I was literally like, I was one day late.
Stop.
On my period. Not even one day. I think I was like, I'm getting my period tomorrow. I didn't get it that day.
Oh,
I was one day
my
late.
God.
That was what it was. And I took a test like as a total like, I'm going to take this test.
Yes.
And I'm going to literally bleed on it because I'm going to get my period. Right. When it was pregnant, I was like, is this a fucking joke?
Yeah. What and was that moment?
I have never been pregnant. I've never had an abortion. I've had a morning after pill. Obviously, like we all have. Yeah. We're all grown
of
ups.
Of course.
I've never had that. But not to segue into a totally different topic. Like,
We will get into that.
But yeah, no, I think it's one of those things. If I have somebody in my life right now who's going through something where she's been with her husband for a very long time, he's successful, she works, mm-hmm. she really wants kids. He's not sure after 8 years if he wants kids, and they're working on it. And she's a little bit older and, you know, not old, but older. Yeah. And I just literally have said to her so many times, this is not going to end how you want it to end. So stop. The denial within yourself is really the worst. Totally. If you break up with somebody, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Someone else is going to come. All you're doing is furthering the time that you're with that person and you're in a half-ass relationship, that you're cutting off more time for someone else to come in.
So true.
Because the relationship's going to end anyway. It's over. You know, my biggest thing now is sort of like not always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like I'm always constantly, like we talked about horoscopes. Like I read Astrology Zone. Do you read Astrology Zone?
No.
I read my horoscope this month and like, it's a bad month.
Yeah.
And every day I've woken up and I've been like, is everything okay? Like the paranoia over like nothing being really wrong and like feeding into this thing is hardcore.
Yes. I do that all the time. I was literally just working on that in therapy. Like I need to like relax into things when they're okay, because I am looking for the fire all the time. Like I'm like, where is it? I just think that, I don't know if it's like because of my childhood or what, but like relaxing into things being okay is impossible.
That's what it is. It is completely from childhood. I'm sure we have overlapping childhood traumas, but it is genuinely.
I'm sure we do.
I have a bevy of them. And
me too.
I have great parents, but I just feel like a lot of things happened that made me feel unsettled and uneasy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I am still sort of constantly, it's almost like it makes me feel better to like always be on
be in crisis.
Yeah, be on the periphery to make sure like I'm always scoping it out, that to the point where I just need to be in the moment and
absolutely.
Just like life is good and you don't need to worry about 10 years from now if like something's gonna happen or next week or whatever.
We're control freaks. It's a problem. It's fine.
Beyond.
So I've heard you say before, and we kind of talked about this a minute ago, like there's no one harder on me than me. I just love that quote so much because I feel the same way. Do you compare yourself to women online? And when you do so, are you more inclined to do so professionally, physically, or personally?
Professionally.
Yeah.
This is where like, I think it's more the like, I mean, even just from like such a small thing of like, you know, I am somebody that considers themselves to have like really good taste, right? Like you might not agree with that. But I am somebody that loves that. And I then look at all of these girls who have these curated Instagrams and they are just beautiful. Nobody gives a fuck about their photos, but like they're beautiful photographs.
No, it's so true.
And I really admire sort of having the ability to do that. And like, I'm somebody that like really can like put things together and have.
You got an aesthetic.
An aesthetic, but like I cannot get this Instagram to not look like a garage sale if it saves my life. Like
like Rosie Huntington Whiteley's or whatever.
It's like, right. Like, but then I also try to give myself grace and feel like, okay, but this is not my only job.
Right.
And it's a big job to curate your Instagram. I'm not belittling that by any means.
Those
influencers, I mean, they are crushing themselves every day. They are working hard. But when you have so many different things, it's hard to make that your focus. So I definitely feel like for me professionally is the thing that I compare myself to, and sort of feeling like not sure like where I fit really. Okay. It's like I have a job on TV. I know all of these sort of like girls that are like influencery and are into fashion like I am. We have common interests, but like they all know each other. And I've said this before in other things. They all go to events and they're all like kiss. But I'm like, I never go to those events either because I'm not invited to those events, because I'm not putting forth that effort with that brand because I can't, or I have to get up in the morning. And so there's a lot of sort of like feeling like I'm almost on the outside of this bubble.
Oh my God. I think so many people are going to relate to exactly what you're saying. But I've wondered that about you for so long too, because you are in the celebrity world, right?
Like, right.
From an objective standpoint, you're in the celebrity world, but then you're also reporting on the celebrity world. Does that ever get confusing? Like, are you like, do you have to be like, I'm not going to tell any of your business on my show, I promise?
Like, I definitely feel like, well, my husband obviously has very famous friends, right. we will say. He's very close with everybody. And I think at first, one of my big insecurities in meeting them, and mm-hmm. specifically like the Jonas Brothers and Sophie and all yeah. of them, who are so wonderful, I think I was really insecure. I mentioned I went to Paris to visit Jordan when he was ending that European tour with all of them. I was very much like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm the girl from E that's going to like go sit at lunch with mm-hmm. them. And I felt like, why the fuck do they want to sit with me and worry about any of that? And I think over time, luckily they have seen like this girl's for real, and I would never, ever do anything. Not that they're doing anything to even report on, but I'm just saying that was something for sure. And I feel like, yeah, again, it's like being on TV is what I want to do for my job because it's what I'm good at. And I plan on being on television for the rest of time.
Yes.
For as long as they will have me.
Yes.
So I think it's a lot. Sometimes I'm like,
it's hard to balance. Yeah, totally. What's something that really knocked your confidence within the past 5 years?
Jesus Christ.
How about a light question?
All of 2019. Yeah. I think just it's not a specific thing, but more of a general thing of like people judging me and assuming they know something that is so far from the truth, and just sort of like, and maybe not even so far from the truth in every single instance, but like not even, you just realize how judgmental and quick people are to like hop on a bandwagon instead of like really taking a second to think like maybe there was some other stuff on the other side.
Do you get a lot of trolls?
This is so annoying. I don't get a lot of trolls.
No, it's not annoying. I'm happy to hear that.
I really have such a supportive community online. I think they're frustrated with me because they feel like, because I'm so inconsistent with my social posting. Because again, it goes back to like, I'm on all day. I don't want to be on every second. And not that I just feel like I have a good balance, but it's on the light side a lot of time. And people want to see more of Ro, and they want to see more of what I'm doing and every single thing. And it's like, you know, but I also don't want to show every single thing I'm buying and getting and doing. And like, I want other people to go out and get the plates that they like. They don't need to get the plates I like. Like, just go and like, you know.
That's fucking genius.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to always, you know. And the other thing, brutally fucking honest, I feel like I've done a lot of shit in my career, and maybe it's been mismanaged in a lot of ways, but I don't get a lot of the credit for the shit that I've popped off on.
Yes. So what are the things that are able to send you into a shame spiral? Like, is it mostly like looking online, or like what?
No, I think it's past situations and circumstances that people might misunderstand me for, or also judge me for, or might not want to speak to me as much, or just sort of being misunderstood. And it's interesting you use the word shame instead of sort of feeling like not confident. That's a very targeted word. I feel like I've felt a lot of shame for a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Going back to like my early 20s, there was definitely like a messiness to my approach at life. And now I feel like I'm really trying to like unlearn the shame.
Yes.
Give myself grace. And I don't think I give myself a lot of grace.
Me neither.
For sure, at all, in every capacity.
Oh, me too. And it's brutal. It's brutal up here.
Yeah, it is. But then I'm also like, you know, insane, but then like I'm also not gluten-free and gonna eat 5 pieces of pizza too, so it's a lot.
No, I'm always like, I wish people could really like just forget every version they've met of me up until this point, you know, and then like tomorrow I'll be like, no, forget that version also. But it's hard. Are you better at forgiving other people or yourself?
Other people.
Yeah, we're hard on ourselves.
And I'm hypercritical of myself. And I also think like, even in just like conflict with other people, you know, I had a conflict the other day with somebody and I apologized. I was like, I'm sorry for my part. And I joked with her at the end and she hadn't apologized. And I literally was like,
your turn.
You've not apologized. And she was, I didn't know the call was over. I'm like, it's not, but like, you need to apologize.
Yeah.
I think it also, it's isolating to do so much self-work.
Yes.
Because you're so in tune with all of your potential flaws, inaccuracies, and all of the things that you don't want to have portrayed out there, that when other people can just sort of like, oh, I'll figure it out, or oh, we'll go to that, or oh, maybe we'll do that, or aren't thinking about it. I'm like so tuned in all the time. It's like a lot.
Yes. And it can be really hard to get out of our own head and just It's hard, but I see a lot of similarities with the way you're describing yourself and the way that I feel all the time.
Yeah,
how do you get out of a shame spiral? I usually just get in fetal position and wait for the storm to pass.
Well, I have like little like tricks that my therapist gave me where she's like, name five things that you see, hear, and smell, or you have like a breathing exercises or whatever. You know, I feel like for me, I haven't had one too bad in a really long time. I probably would call a friend or speak to my husband about it.
Yeah.
And just sort of be like, I feel really bad about this. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to come and go, but like, I just need to like work it out and I need to get through this part.
Yes. Like this will, this too shall pass kind of thing.
Like if somebody I used to speak to when I was in my previous relationship and I don't speak anymore, I'm sort of like, and not even because they're necessarily that close with any of my exes or whatever. It's just sort of like, there's a judgment and I'm like, but you, that can really trigger me.
Yes. That would get to me too.
Oh yeah. And you've like known this person still for like 15 years and like you would expect them to show you a little more grace in certain capacities and they don't. That's when I feel like when somebody's kind of like, I just don't want to have anything to do with you. That really gets me like.
Uh-huh. Do you care about people liking you? Obviously we all do, but like to what degree?
Yeah, I do. I think it's when somebody, I'm more triggered by it when it's somebody that knows me and somebody that we have a long history and I've never done anything to truly wrong them of any kind of anything. Like, and they're the ones that are sort of like, they've decided to be like a little like on their horse. That's really what.
That kills me too.
But then I also think people think I'm a completely different person than who I am when they like see me in a way.
What do you think people misunderstand about you the most?
Probably that I such a lame answer. I've said it. Probably that I'm not as sensitive as I am, and probably not as just that I'm not as nice.
Ah, yeah.
Like I am genuinely, and I've become way more nice because I think I've like let a lot of shit go. But yeah, I'm like nice and pretty straightforward, and my moral compass is very in check these days.
Yeah, I mean that's what comes with the territory of being so self-critical and analytical. Is that like
right?
I always say, like, whenever I have a disagreement with someone or anything, you can bet your bottom dollar that I am driving home the whole time trying to find my place in this, like what I did to contribute to this. And other people 100% just don't. I'm like, what must that be like to be in your head? Must be so nice.
So calm, peaceful.
Yeah, peaceful. Peace on earth. Not my head.
No.
So let's talk a little bit about pregnancy and motherhood because you are pregnant again. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's very crazy. Yes.
Oh my God. How fucking fun. How far apart will the kids be?
A year and a day.
That is unbelievable.
So, and my father-in-law dropped this nugget. So we were like kind of keeping mum on it. So basically Ro was born February 16th.
Yeah.
My new baby is going to be born February 7th, is due February 17th. Now I can induce from the 10th on.
Oh my God.
So we'll see. I induced with Ro.
I have a funny story about that. My sister is 4 years older than me, but we both were conceived on my dad's birthday, which is in March. So we're December 13th and 14th.
Okay. So my conceiving time is around my birthday as well.
Yeah.
Which is so fucking funny. I love that. Yeah. So we're there. I mean, I always wanted kids to be, I knew that once I got into a groove with Ro or my first child, that they were going to be like, you know, on their way to being a year old or whatever age that represented where we were in a groove. I knew it was only going to be that much harder for me to go back and do it again. So I was very much under the impression like, okay, do we want to have two kids? We both decided what before Ro even was in the picture, two was our number.
Yeah.
So if we're going to go for two, let's go for it.
Efficient.
And when I tell you, I mean, I had a lot of thyroid issues post-birth.
Yes. I want to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a lot of kind of shit happen where I was like very uncertain about what it was. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I had one period and that was it.
Damn. Your body just like wanted to have his babies. It feels like
his babies. And now it is snip, snip time.
Yeah. You're like, I'm done.
I'm done. Too. We're not doing, and there's no, because it will happen again. And I'm really not in the, it's not happening for a third.
For sure. No, for sure. What were the things that you were most afraid of as far as becoming a mom or even bringing a child into this world, like before Ro?
I think going back to your original questioning of just like feeling that shame, I felt like, am I sort of this tainted person that is perceived one way and not by everybody? I don't mean to seem like, but I had gone through so much stuff and I didn't want to be sort of someone's mother that wasn't pristine or perceived as somebody who's clean or careful or just sort of like all of these different things. Like I wanted to be a role model for her and I didn't want these like marks of mine to affect her life.
Yes.
And I definitely was very worried about having any sort of postpartum and sort of feeling like I was going to be rejecting her in any capacity. So I did a lot of, I did EMDR during my whole pregnancy.
Wow.
I took it really serious. It was 2 hours a week. I was tapping on every fucking thing I could tap on. I was like, really went through the heart of like my childhood trauma, that the worst possible shit that can happen. I had to tackle that. And I think I did a good job of doing that because I had luckily nothing but just an abundance of love and emotion for her. She is, I mean, everybody's like, their kid's so special. Ro is a feisty little human being.
She's so fucking cute.
She's so fucking cute. And I was totally prepared to have like a not cute baby. Cause I was like 2 years ago is really when I hit the stride of attractive. So I was like, you know, it's fine to be ugly. Like when you're a kid. And
for
when you're
sure. Build character.
If you're supposed to be, if you're hot at 16, show me you now. You're 100%. You're not cute.
Nope.
Everyone who like looked good then is a fucking mess.
Peaking in high school, not it.
Right. But Ro is like, I don't know.
Yeah, she's going to be a beaut forever.
She really, I think
she's one of the lucky ones.
She's just gorgeous. And it's funny, she's got these big blue eyes.
Yes.
And I had a dream literally 2 months before I gave birth, but like the baby, I was giving birth and she came out and I just remember seeing like bright like blue shining out of her eyes. So I had that vision that she was gonna have light eyes.
Oh, do you have blue eyes?
I do. I have the dark, I mean, they're hazel. No, my husband has green eyes.
Yeah.
And then my dad has blue eyes. His dad has like bluish green. And then my mother-in-law is green. So there's a lot of light.
So you'll probably have another blue-eyed baby, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
Oh my God,
we'll
how see. Exciting. Okay, yeah. So tell me about that postpartum period. What were all the red flags that you kind of avoided and now know in hindsight that there was a thyroid problem? Because I have a little hyperthyroidism and I'm very curious about this.
Oh my God, it was a fucking disaster. Because what happened was I didn't realize it. I gave birth in February, March, April. I had a girlfriend come over probably in April. And I remember sitting at my bar and I just sort of started to completely fade away from myself. I just felt completely awful. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, just like low blood sugar.
Yeah.
I was like, no, something's really, really wrong. Something doesn't feel right. And then she came over and I had really intense anxiety about not feeling well. And then I kind of let that go on. And then in the beginning of May, I really decided, okay, I'm going to diet. I need to get the rest of this weight off. Like, this is not just falling off. Like, I don't feel like myself. Like, I need to figure this out. So I was eating very clean. I was not drinking alcohol. Like, I really made an effort.
Right.
My anxiety was so bad, but physically bad. And usually, like, I have anxiety. I spiral. I talk about something for 2 hours and then it goes away.
But, like, the physical is no fucking joke.
This was, like, a physical, like, I felt like I was always on the verge of an allergic reaction. I felt like I couldn't sit still. I felt like there was always something wrong. I have literally 75,000 photos of my tongue because I was like, is my tongue swelling?
Yeah.
Is my throat closing? Am I okay? I don't feel good. Like, what is it? Like, it was this constant exacerbated panic of feeling like, and my husband's like, you're fine. And I wasn't until my birthday at the end of May. I went to go get a lymphatic drainage massage before my birthday to like really just keep it. And I was eating. This was not a not eating problem.
Right.
I want to be very clear. Like, I had salmon and spinach. I wasn't eating fun things, but I was eating. So it wasn't one of those things. And I remember having to pull over in front of Marc Jacobs and I completely was just like, come get me. I can't talk.
Holy crap.
Completely, basically fainted in my car in a loading zone. Could not communicate, was so out of my body, basically just crashed.
Wow.
Crashed. So all of these things that had been leading up to this point.
Yes.
My assistant comes, she brings me a bar, all of these things. I get McDonald's, I have orange juice, I have a Coke, I'm in bed. 3 hours later, still the same thing.
Oh.
Jordan comes home, he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, give me my phone. I'm like asking for water, like saying the wrong things, completely incoherent, was not able to communicate. Like, I was basically stuck in my body and like the outside of me was completely discombobulated.
How
it was
terrifying.
The scariest thing I had ever been through in my whole life. The next morning I woke up okay, fell asleep, whatever. I was fine for my birthday, kind of worse for wear, but like went through it. I look back at those photos, I'm like, God, you were so off. Went to Napa for the weekend. Still don't know it's a thyroid issue. Have you been to Napa French Laundry?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, right. So it's like a whole experience. You're supposed to enjoy it.
15 courses or something, right?
We had to leave it the course for because I was so out of myself.
Yeah.
And I was gone. And so finally, I went to an endocrinologist when I got home. She checked my blood. My mother-in-law was like, you got to go see somebody about this. Like, this is crazy. And I was like, I can't sit still. And she called me and she said, this is very serious. You have to come to my office immediately because your thyroid is so off the charts. It's basically off the scale.
Wow. But it wasn't
like kind of high or kind of, you know, they have hyper.
Right. So I had
hyperthyroidism to the point where it was basically, you know, when you hit those things at the fair and they go up, it was like stuck up there.
Oh my God. So your body was just in pure fight or flight mode all the time.
All the time. And then I was okay. And it started to sort of regulate. And like, I didn't go on anything. And it was just sort of like, take a week off from work. Don't drink, whatever. And then I started to feel better, And then I got pregnant again. And then, and they were like, you got to go on Synthroid. We got to put you on some medication because your thyroid is now acting up again and we can't have that. It has to be below a certain number when you're pregnant. And so I now am on Synthroid 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And I just got my last results. Thank God everything is perfect in the numbers.
Oh, good.
And I just feel like it really just that little fucking thing. I didn't even know.
I know, but it's like the control center of our whole body.
Our whole body. But I am somebody, I have never had any kind of ailment. I had appendicitis 12 years ago and that's it. And I remember it was insane. I went to go get Botox and I always get a little nervous. Like I'm always a little jittery.
Me too.
And the doctor went to Nurse Jamie. She was like, I think we need to skip today. I was like, I ate something. I couldn't sit still.
Wow.
So yeah, if you're having those issues, don't let your husband tell you you're like, just have low blood sugar.
Trust your gut.
Really go get it checked out because it was horrendous.
Wow. And as soon as you found out like and started to get it under control, all the anxiety and other symptoms of it kind of relaxed?
Completely. But I definitely still like have those like, am I okay? Like I definitely had those. They're like lingering effects where I almost have to check myself and be like, they're not real.
Right. How did you do TV at that time? Or were you on maternity leave?
I don't know if I drank tiger's blood. Like I went back. I had to take a week off.
Of course.
And then I remember like I would be on TV and I'd be like on commercial break. I'd be like, can I feel my hand? Can I feel my hand? Am I okay? Like, can I feel my arm? Like I'm always sort of like swallowing a lot. Like it definitely wasn't smooth sailing. I just kind of got through it.
You
somehow
faked it. Right. Yeah. Wow. Wow. So what an incredible thing that you who is your endocrinologist, if you don't mind me asking?
Dr. Jordan Geller.
Oh, okay.
So I had somebody else and then I moved to Jordan Geller. He has been, if you are having any sort of anything having to do with your endocrine system or your thyroid, he is amazing.
Yeah. Aren't those like ultrasounds so brutal though? Like on your neck. I hate them. Oh, it makes me feel so sick.
He like came behind me at one point. I had to like massage here to see how swollen I was. And I literally was like, I have to give blood every 3 weeks.
Ugh, yeah, it's hard. So for my fellow thyroid people, you know, or maybe you don't, I don't know. For me, it's super cringy. Like there's just a skeeve feeling. I don't know if anyone says skeeve, but whatever. A really icky feeling when someone like presses on your thyroid. Like that's the only way to describe it. It's like, ugh. Do you have to do that pregnant anyway?
Awful. Oh my God, there's so much blood coming out of me all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like the thyroid and then the blood with the pregnancy.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of tests. So get ready for that.
Oh, great. What's the number one thing that you wish people had told you about motherhood and pregnancy?
Check your thyroid.
Yeah, that is a great one. Yes.
I think the motherhood thing I have to say I've been really blessed has been really everything.
Yeah, with that special baby.
I've hoped for. She's really amazing. I love her more than anything. I think for me, it's also, motherhood definitely comes at a time when you're in your 30s and you have babies. Mm-hmm. You've found yourself as much as you possibly can, especially if you're working on yourself and you feel like you've kind of come to a place socially where you don't need to have a million friends. But then you have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to make the effort again with people.
Right. Oh no.
And it becomes this whole new thing. And then there's sort of, there's this like mean girl club that sort of happens sometimes where, you know, everybody's so busy, but then I think as a mother, you're always feeling like I'm not doing enough. I want to do this. Or your friends have babies, but they're different ages. And at that first year, it's different. Or developmentally, they're doing different things. Like one of my best friends has a baby. He's 4 months old and he wants to be in the stroller. Ro wants to go and crawl up and down and stand on the wall. So there's just sort of the like, relax and let things work out. I think I have to focus on that. But that sort of stuff.
Yes. No, that's
not keeping her busy enough.
That's real. And also like the mean girl mom situation. That's you think that like when you all have babies, like it's like kumbaya, you know, it's fun.
Oh my God. That was definitely for me. I'm very much like, I do a mom group and I have a music club. And for me, it's like, if you have a little baby and you need somewhere with that baby to go, I don't give a shit if you did whatever you did to me 12 years ago or whatever. There is no reason why you are not welcome. And I don't think that that's always reciprocated. So
no, that's fucked up. Okay. We got to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Okay, two more questions. Number one, what is your biggest pet peeve?
Oh my God, when you don't get your food at the same time at restaurants.
Oh, does that happen to you often?
I love that you asked that's only like an LA girl question. Like, well, where are you going that it's happening? Like, that was like a little bit of richness that I just so appreciate. And I'm just going to leaving that in. It happens, not that much, but when it does, it's like, I have a hot plate of food.
Right.
Three other people have, time it the fuck out.
For sure. For sure.
Time it the fuck out. We're not at Denny's. Like, get it together.
What's your favorite restaurant in LA?
Oh my God, Ebaldi.
Oh, Ebaldi, not Giorgio Baldi, but Ebaldi.
I know everyone's a Giorgio fan. Everyone loves it. But I'm sorry, Ebaldi from day one. I wish they would bring the vongole back. You could tell them I said that. But besides that, I love it.
I'm the biggest vongole. They need to bring it back, like tomorrow.
I used to go there for lunch like when in 2012 and like it was all I wanted. And now I'm like, can we bring this
no,
back?
They need
and-
to.
Fun fact for you, I went to dinner there with some girlfriends like 3 weeks ago and they had it from a party that left over the night before.
No.
And so they gave it to us and I literally said to them, I'm like,
why are they withholding?
I don't know, but I'm over it.
Oh my God.
Over
okay.
it.
Okay. What's a way in which you're currently working on yourself these days? Like, what is the next hill to climb?
Jesus Christ, the hills.
I know.
I mean, I guess just the continued, I mean, I think I had more of a milestone where I told my therapist this week, I was like, I think we can drop the 2 hour sessions. You know, they do the 50 minutes and sometimes they do a 2 hour, 50, like
I
a
was
double
on that.
50 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just sort of was like, I don't think we need that. I think just sort of not feeding into the beast of needing to check for things that are going to go wrong. And also, you don't have control over things. And also, you know, a piece of advice that I was given a long time ago that I think now I'm really just starting, own your shit. Mm-hmm. Nobody, I feel so self-judgmental, so self-critical. And I think about like the mistakes I have made and I look around, I'm like, everybody has made these fucking mistakes so many fucking times. Who the fuck are these people I'm so worried about judging me like their shit's all the way the fuck together? They're fucking mess. I'd like you to go on fucking TV and see how you handle your shit every single fucking day.
Yes. Yes.
So that is my number one, just sort of like living in the now, feeling deserving of all of the blessings and the abundance that's in my life and not constantly feeling like, well, I have to balance it with, but that's wrong. So I don't, so if that makes this less special.
And because you're like, your brand is being real, do you often feel like, oh my God, people are not going to have anything to relate with me about if everything is going okay? Like, do you have that nervousness?
Oh. You know, the thing is, the brands happen because people are who they
are.
I didn't go out and say, I'm going to be the real bitch here. I think people thought I was authentic, and which was a very big surprise for me when that kind of picked up, because I had always been viewed out, like even through high school, like I was fake.
Like
I would
superficial.
Be nice to you and then kind of talk shit to you. So the fact that this authenticity has come across is something I think I'm most proud of.
Because
who I am is who I am. I am not putting shit on for anybody. I might not tell you everything because I don't think everything's your fucking
it's
business.
Not.
But I'm not like, this is who I am. Somebody did say to me last week in my mom group, like, you know, maybe sometimes you publicly would come off a little cold. And I'm the opposite.
Yeah, you really are.
I am not cold. I'm extremely nice.
No, I totally agree. You are even better in person.
This is what I've said to my agents for 500 years because I'm like, just get people to meet me.
It's
they
true.
Will like me if they meet me.
100%. I mean, I liked you even before I met you, but now even more.
Thank you.
What's the most off-brand thing about you?
Oh my God. What is the most off? I guess that I like eat like a 13-year-old boy.
Kids menu kind of girl?
Yeah, not even kids menu, but just like there's no, I don't pay attention to like eating well.
Yes.
At all.
Yes.
Like I'm just not like thinking about like, oh, well, we can go to Erewhon and get this snack or we can go and do that. Like, I'm very much like, I mean, in real time, like this was 5 minutes before we started. Like, I'm just sort of that, I guess that's off brand for me. I'm just sort of like gross in that way.
Oh, a Coca-Cola girl. But I love that about you because I'm the same fucking way. But I'm Diet Coke.
The best.
But Coke people, I do respect Coke. I know. Coke people don't like Diet Coke people.
I know.
I like you, but I can't believe you drink that shit. Oh my God.
I know. The real Coke makes my teeth stick together.
It's hardcore.
You know? Yeah.
It's hardcore. What about a Dr. Pepper?
Oh, love. Are you drinking Dr. Love.
Pepper? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We can still be friends. Ground. Okay, good. So where can people find you? What do you have coming up? You are cooked. You are finished. What's going on in your world?
God, I have so much. Well, obviously they can find me at Morgan Stewart for Instagram. And then I do Daily Pop on E, and then, which is at 8 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock, wherever yes. you are. I can't even keep up with the times. And then I do Nightly Pop, which is at 11:30 every night on E.
Yes.
And then, yeah, that's kind of it. I'm like sailing into these last few months and just like going to pop out another baby.
Yes.
And then I think 2022 will be when I have like other things to promote.
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
You're the greatest. All right, guys, that's it from me this week. Oh, just a reminder, if you could please rate, follow, and review the podcast, that would be awesome. I've gotten so many DMs recently about you guys just loving the show, and there are so many new listeners, and I'm so excited. We were on New and Noteworthy last week, which was insane and a definite bucket list and pinch me moment. So thank you guys for getting us there, because I'm so excited, and I just love doing the show. I love talking to you guys. I love connecting with you guys. So if you ever want to talk, reach out to me anytime. I'm always on Instagram. I mean, much to my dismay, but I am. And so DM me there. I'm at Jade Iovine, J-A-D-E-I-O-V-I-N-E. And we can talk about anything. We don't have to talk about the show. We can talk about just your life and advice, or just shoot the shit and commiserate, which is my favorite thing. Okay, that's it for me. I'll see you guys back here next week. Bye.